Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to an understanding of God's Word. Minister Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel to continue with the rapture of the church, our discussion on the rapture of the church. We said we needed to hit on this because there are a lot of people that are in church but not in Christ, and they assume that because they're in church that they're going to make the rapture. And so we've looked at the examples of the 10 virgins. Five were wise, five were foolish, and we've taken, we looked at the five foolish to see or examine why it was that they missed the rapture. And we're looking at that as a warning to us today because we can start out right as Christians because it was evident that there were 10 virgins that had lamps and had oil, but the five foolish, their oil, when you read it in the original, said it was going, the oil was going out, okay? It had gone out. So the five foolish, as they went to go get some oil, we find that the when the bridegroom came and that they missed, the door was shut and they missed the rapture of the church, okay? So we're going to start again tonight at Matthew 25, and we'll read verses 1 down through, I'll tell you when to stop. We'll start at verse 1.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut.
All right, let's start right there. We said before that the door was shut a couple of times or in the Bible, and we know one time was with Noah. Noah was building an ark. God had told him that he was going to destroy the world because of sin had reached his nostrils, and the heart of man was constantly on evil, and all the bloodline of mankind had become corrupted except for Noah's bloodline, right? So Noah preached righteousness. These people heard the gospel. These people that were in the world, they heard the gospel, but they continued to live a riotous life of marrying and drinking and partying and living life as the norm until one day Noah shut the door. It began to rain and he shut the door of the ark, right? It was too late for them to get in then, right? So it's the same here. We see with these five foolish, well, the 10 we had, the 5 wise, the 5 foolish, that they started out right. They all started out right. And there are conditions that we are in order to make the rapture. And we simply said the rapture of the church is just simply where we are giving an incorruptible body, where the church is taken out. See, prophetically, the church, God puts Israel in time out. The clock stopped on the prophetic clock. Israel is not being used by God as he had told them because of disobedience. So God put them in spiritual timeout, and he brought in the church, the Gentiles, in order to do what Israel should have, okay? And we, unfortunately, are doing the same thing that Israel did. There's a remnant. There's a remnant in the body of Christ who are living for God and who are doing the will of God. And this body of Christ is not one organized church. It's all over the world, okay? So there were always two churches in the Bible. There was the organized church and there was the remnant church. The remnant church was who the individuals God used all throughout the ages to keep the light of the gospel going. They didn't give up. They were persecuted. They were ridiculed. They were killed. Some were killed. Some were sawn asunder, y'all. We read about them in Hebrews 11. It talks about their great acts of faith, right? And so today it's the same thing. There's a remnant church. The world loves the organized church because it's a part of it. The world is in it, okay? And so we see here that these five foolish, they did not, one of the requirement is sleeplessness. Another is to be sober. Another is to be watchful, alert, and vigilant. And another is to be covered. See, we got to remain in Christ at all times. And so all it is, the rapture of the church is just simply Christ was the first one to be raptured. Our resurrection, the rapture and the resurrection, just recap, means the same thing. Our resurrection was dependent or is dependent, well, it was dependent upon Christ dying on the cross. He already did it. He died on the cross, and he was the first fruit, that's what the Bible says, of being resurrected. So had he not resurrected, then none of us would have been able to be raptured or resurrected and given an incorruptible body. That makes sense? So right now it is the church which withholds the Antichrist from being revealed. The Antichrist is somewhere on the stage. It's called today globalism. And all globalism is where people think that, or Satan thinks that, he's still trying to oust God. He's still trying to have a one world government where he controls and rule and reign. This is what Satan wants. So he's using evil men today to push and peddle an evil agenda, okay? And so he's also using organized church to push this agenda. And so it takes each of us to be crucified and dead to self to see these things. We can't see them with the human eye. It has to be revealed by his spirit. And when we walk in obedience, God gives us revelation. See, everybody can't see it because everybody's not walking in obedience. So remember when Christ walked the earth with his disciples, some of the people that followed couldn't see what his 12 disciples saw.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? They couldn't understand it. Even the 12 couldn't understand some things because it took the Spirit revealing it to them. Yeah. So the only way to get true revelation is as you and I walk in obedience. When we walk in obedience to the word of God and the will of God, he imparts wisdom.
Yes.
So everybody don't see the same way or same things. So, but it takes, this is why Paul preached the message of the cross. He preached the cross because he knew that the power of God, if the people's faith was in the right object, that the power of God would direct them and give them the revelation that each one needed. Okay?
Yes.
So we have here a force at work to undress us, to cause us to become naked before the eyes of God, to take off the covering of Jesus Christ and him crucified and make us to the point where we will be, remember Adam and Eve? They were covered in swathed with the light or the presence of God. They didn't know they were naked. They didn't see each other's nakedness because they were in the presence. Okay? His glory covered them. But as soon as they listened to a wisdom outside of faith, as soon as they went from God consciousness to now self-consciousness, they became naked. And tonight we're dealing with the nakedness, the last condition of being rapture ready or caught up in the rapture is to be covered. And that simply means having the garments or the righteousness of Christ. Satan is at work to pull us away from Christ. And he does it by causing us to go to sleep, meaning that we're insensitive to spiritual things because we are dull of hearing. We are lazy spiritually, and there's a lethargy. So it has settled in, and we can't see our condition. Then he causes us to be drunken. The Bible calls us to be sober, see? And then he calls us to be watchful, alert, vigilant. See, we got to be watching these events and situations happening in the world. They're happening. We see just this person and that person or this party and that party. But always know, if we look at the book of Job, Nothing happens unless God allows. See what I'm saying? Unless God allows. So God is in complete control. Satan was allowed to do the things that he did simply because God said, "Have you tried my servant?" See, there was a purpose behind it. And God said, Christ said, he's given us, he came that we might have life and have it more abundant. See, he came that we might be able to overcome some things. He don't have us in the world so that we can just can't get over nothing. He came for us to resist anything that comes against us, be able to overcome it. We shouldn't be stuck in our problems. We shouldn't be stuck. See, Job was getting ready to get to the point where he had the friends down talking him. He had the wife down talking him. He could have stayed in that cycle, and he started talking down. Why was I born? I hate the day that I was even born. Not realizing that he was in the perfect condition. God was going to take him from being self-conscious to more God consciousness.
Amen.
He was making him aware of the areas of his life that needed to come up a little higher.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? And it took these trials. I commend him because he went through so much, and he had faith. This was the process of sanctification in his life. And so we see that when these things happen, God is preparing us. Those things are making us strong, making our foundation sure.
Yes.
See? Helping us to stand on the rock of our salvation and not be shaken in mind nor spirit. Okay?
Amen.
So Satan is at work. Although God allows Satan to tempt, it is up to us to maintain faith and trust and know and believe in God's sovereignty, that he is in control, and to stand on his word in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. So we have to be vigilant, alert, watchful. See, there are things that comes to us daily to cause us to become desensitized to corruption, to sin, to error, to false teaching and false doctrine and deception. And it comes by way of things that we see in the world, what we hear in the world. And so we have to keep what you hear and what you see will determine your spiritual growth.
Amen.
How much of what you hear and see on a daily basis determines. See, we got to feed the Holy Spirit. If we don't give him nothing to work with, he can't use it. He can't develop us.
Amen.
You see, so we have to feed. If I'm feeding him the word, sometimes I'll read something and may not get it right away. I was talking to a coworker today, and we was talking about something. I don't know what it was, but the word, while we were talking, the Holy Spirit revealed something. You see what I'm saying? Because it gave a revelation of whatever we was talking about. So if we never give him anything to work with, the word came to my remembrance. A word came. So if I never read and study and come to know some things and get the accurate history and understand the stuff, then we're grieving the Spirit. He wants to take us from one place to the next, but our mindsets, those things, we're stunting our growth. See? So with these five foolish virgins, something happened to cause them to trust in their own efforts, religious activity, without the power of God. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I know I said 1 Corinthians, but we're going to follow the leading of the Spirit, okay? So we're going to go there, and then we'll take off. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 3.
But this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor.
Okay, let me read the note. So he said, this is the will of God. even your sanctification. Mm-hmm. See, God wills that we allow him in this next process of salvation, which is sanctification. We were already, the first step was being justified. Now, the next step, the will of God is for us to be sanctified. It means the work of making one holy, which can only be done by the Holy Spirit. Had these five foolish allowed the work of the Spirit of God to continue, see, this is what the oil represents, burning in their heart and life. The oil had to be replenished daily. The wick had to be cleaned daily, twice a day, I think it was. And so by them allowing the oil to go out, they may have came in right, it was justified. But he said, this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, you got to continue in my word so that the Spirit of God can make you holy in reality.
Amen.
See, we come to Christ and we're saved and God looks at us. He sees us holy. But in reality, I got to stay with Christ, keep my faith in the cross until this thing. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed or in reality, and you shall know truth, and truth is going to make you free. So we got to come to know truth. He didn't say no church. He didn't say no the church rules and all these things and whatever their traditions. He said, and you shall know truth, and truth is going to make you free.
Yeah.
This is where God is trying to get each one of us to know truth. Truth is a person. So I have to know who truth is or what and what truth came to accomplish. And he came to accomplish even my sanctification.
Yeah.
And notice what he says. In sanctifying you and I, he set us apart to be changed, to be made whole and delivered from self, sin, the world, and Satan. So if I stick with this process of keeping my faith in the cross, even though the work of sanctification may not feel good initially, because he has to take my old way of thinking, my old mindset, my old way of living, and I have to completely become dependent upon God's way. I have to completely become dependent upon the Spirit of God. I can't control what I want. And it's so much easier if we learn how to rest and let God have his way. At first, it's like it's uncomfortable, but as we walk in obedience, it becomes easier. So the first thing he said, if I make you holy, then you should abstain from fornication. Now, what most people try to do is they try in their strength. I'm not going to go to that strip club. I'm not going to go to the bar. I'm not going to smoke that cigarette. I'm going to love her despite how she treated me, but still harboring things. Y'all see, we tried in our strength until one day we just break down. We can't do it because we don't have the power.
Amen.
We're not strong enough. We're not powerful enough to turn away from sin. See?
Yeah.
And sin is what gives Satan a license. So if I'm in sin, or if I'm dependent upon self, it gives Satan a license because I'm not trusting in the cross. I'm trusting in my own efforts, my own strength, and my own ability. Y'all see that?
Yes.
So in essence, you give him an avenue. You give Satan an avenue or a license to wreak havoc in your life. So whatever you struggle with, guess what? Because you're trying to be holy in your own strength by going to church, you're trying to be holy in your own strength by, I pay my tithes. You're trying to be holy in your own strength. Well, I read my Bible and I did these things. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not placing your faith in Christ and letting the Spirit work this out in you in his order, then whatever this fornication refers to all types of immorality, homosexuality, sex out of wedlock, adultery, all kind of immorality or immoral things, harboring malice and strife and all these things. See, he said, you should, if I'm working in you, you're going to abstain from fornication.
Amen.
See, but if he's not, then the flesh will control you and Satan will control you and you'll give in to what self wants.
Yes.
Remember, God is working to, we got to be covered, and we're going to get there in a minute. We got to have on the garment. We got to stay. When we became Christians, we had the whole armor of God. We put on Christ.
Yes.
We got to put off, we put off the old man in the eyes of God, and we put on Christ. But in reality, he's changing my condition where I am truly becoming holy. And not in, not doing it in my own strength. And it's not a denomination. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I will possess in reality. So he says in verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. It says the physical body, which is the temple of the spirit. Remember, this physical body is corrupt. But the divine nature being in you, the Holy Spirit, he's, I'm the temple now of the Holy Spirit. He is going to do the work of sanctification, meaning he's going to morally clean me up, which can only be done as I exhibit faith constantly. Not one time, oh, I'm saved. No, this is the problem. This is why the five foolish got left behind. Oh, I'm saved and went to church and sat down on the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See what I'm saying? Yeah. Nothing wrong with going to church, but if you're not under a verbal message that explains Jesus Christ and him crucified, you're just sitting there wasting away spiritually.
Amen.
You're not over sin, you're not over self, you're not over the world, and you're not over Satan.
Amen.
This is why whenever the world go one way, we go right there with them. When the world start talking about these things that shouldn't even, the Christians should be able to overcome, there we go in our feelings and our lust, and we getting all agitated too. See? Satan controls the world system. And so his job, those that are not a part of God's system are of his system. And sometimes we have to rub shoulders with them. And sometimes they will taunt you. And they do it on purpose to get you and I to come off the cross. It can be family members. It can be friends, coworkers. I don't care who it is. But you and I have to be crucified because he's doing this work of sanctification and honor in our lives.
Amen.
So in verse 5, he said, not in the lust of concupiscence, which is evil passions and desires in the thought life. There's some, y'all know we have to be delivered from our mind. We can see something, somebody, and our mind will go, whoo, go, it'll go there quick.
Yep. Amen.
So you and I have to, that's why he says abstain from all fornication. He said, even as the Gentiles which know not God, it speaks of the Gentile world which walked in darkness before the advent of the gospel. Keep going, verse 6.
That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified.
Says, refers to anything regarding fraud. However, the inference is to sexual misconduct. Such must not be.
Mm-hmm.
That, see, when we trying to preach the gospel and then we doing something else, that's a hypocrite.
Amen.
See, that's been, and so all Paul is saying, we can't say one thing and live another way.
That's right.
He says, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, it said, presents the fact that the judgment of God upon all impurity is sure and terrible and will ultimately come. As we have forewarned you and testified, it says this presents the possibility that sexual misconduct could have been a besetting temptation for the Thessalonians. Now these Thessalonians, they were Christians, but they were being tempted.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 7.
For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness.
God has called us from uncleanness, i.e. sexual impurity, unto holiness. I can't even, if God is working in your heart and on your heart, you don't even want to be around the thing that he delivered you from.
Amen.
Or the thing that appeared. Y'all understand? If God is, this is the word. See, we fool ourselves and we'll come up with an excuse even defrauding one another. We'll come up with excuse. We're doing the thing, same thing the world does.
Amen.
We're doing the same things of the world, and then we'll try to cover it up and say, I'm living holy, I'm living right. Being a Christian is more than just saying it.
Right.
Ooh, amen.
See, it's more than it's saying. But he said, the person that live righteous, do righteousness, that person is righteous. It's not you just being able to say it and quote the scriptures, and sometimes we even teach it and preach it, but we still don't get it right.
Amen.
See, so he says, let's keep going, verse 8.
He therefore that despises not man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another.
Okay, so it says, he therefore who despises the commands of the Lord, despises not man, but God. Treating the words of men lightly is one thing, but treating the word of God lightly is something else altogether. This is a big problem with the church.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We will push God's word aside in a heartbeat to fulfill our own desires and our own lust.
Yeah.
It says the Holy Spirit is given to believers in order that we might live a holy life, and I think we forget that.
Amen.
We become independent of God when we become a Christian. But we have to realize that God called us to be totally dependent, just like a child upon his parent.
Amen.
So the believer has to learn how to be dependent. When we go to religious and organized church, we learn how to become independent. We try and live our life independent of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think our efforts and our programs and our religious activities that pleases God.
Amen.
So we're going to go down to verse 13.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
All right, let me read the notes. It says in verse 13, it refers to believers who have died. He said, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. This concerns those who do not know the Lord, who will have no part in the first resurrection of life, and therefore no hope for heaven. Now, if you continue to read the Bible, you'll see there were several resurrections or raptures throughout in scriptures. And we said that before, because I want y'all to realize that the resurrection is the same as the rapture. We always been programmed to think of just one rapture, but that one is which is of big importance. But when you look at the martyred saints after the Great Tribulation or during the Great Tribulation, they're going to be raptured out. When you look at the two witnesses that preach, I think, for 3 days in the streets, and they're going to be killed, then eventually, after a couple of days, they're going to be raptured up. See what I'm saying? So Paul is here explaining. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, in 1 Corinthians, there was a false teaching going around saying that the rapture was not going to happen. Paul had to address it. There's some teachings today the same way. So thinking about the five foolish, there, if we're not allowing the oil of the Holy Spirit to develop us and change us in the process of sanctification, we will fall for these deceptive teachings. This is why Paul had to keep preaching it and telling them. So he's trying to explain, because people are making them feel like they have no hope.
Yes.
What they hear and see on TV caused them to be shaken in mind and spirit. And so it made them almost to the point of, and I'm saying this today, but back then, what they were hearing, what was going on, the persecution, all those things, they were saying, there is no resurrection. So they were losing hope.
Yes.
They were saying, what's the point of being a Christian and giving up their salvation? See?
Yes.
See what I'm saying? This is why it's important to let, for the believer to know, because stuff is going to hit us. And if you think that you're, there's no hope in a future coming kingdom and being resurrected out of this, you think that you're going to die or, and have to go through tribulation again. A lot of people, they're like, what's the point of being a Christian? Some of this stuff that's going on around us and in the world, we're like, seem like injustice is taking over and justice, you know, the people that's trying to do right, live right. And it's like, what's going on? They're the ones getting persecuted, and we give up.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see behind the scenes that God is at work.
Yes.
And so people will lose hope. They will cast away their confidence, not realizing that if you move your faith, you're going to lose the great reward. So he says, the very foundation of Christianity is the death and resurrection of Christ. It is the proof of life after death in a glorified state for all saints in that life, which incidentally will never end. It says here, this when it says, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. This refers to the rapture of the church or the resurrection of all believers, with both phrases meaning the same thing, even as Paul describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, at death, the soul and spirit of the child of God instantly go to be with Jesus. While the physical body goes back to dust, at the rapture, God will replace what was the physical body with the glorified body, united with the soul and the spirit. In fact, the soul and the spirit of each individual will accompany the Lord down close to this earth to be united with a glorified body, which will then make the believer whole.
Amen.
See? So, let's keep going in verse 15.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the arch, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Yeah.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
All right. I want to stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now notice in verse 18, he said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it pertains to the future of the child of God. Now, I want to stop right there, and I want to get to the point of how we have to be watchful and we have to keep our garments, and we cannot walk, become naked, okay, in the sight of God. So let's go to Revelation 16. Now, notice as you go in there, he commanded us to be watchful. He said, watch. He told the porter to watch. And the porter represented the apostles. They were to be watchful and to reveal to the people the signs of the time, where we are prophetically, and to know that Christ shall return soon. Okay? He's coming back for his bride. When Christ comes back to get the church, then the prophetic clock starts again for Israel. Okay? So the rapture, the church, is the time of the Gentiles. Had Israel embraced Christ when he came, he would have still gone to the cross, but he would have ushered in his kingdom, the millennial reign. That time frame would have came. But they rejected it, so it pushed it back. See? So they prophetically, because they rejected the Messiah, Christ has to wait before he bring his kingdom here on earth, which is called the millennial reign. And so now what we're leading up to is when the church is raptured out, the prophetic clock starts, and we pick up with the events that's found in the book of Daniel. And that's where Israel will come in and do what it was called to do, but they're going to be deceived by the Antichrist, and we're going to get to all that stuff, okay? So I'm saying all this stuff because you can't get caught up in the news. You can't get caught up in what's on TV, entertainment, because they're going to paint a picture. They paint, right now, they paint Israel as an enemy. although Israel is in a backslidden state, the nation, put it that way, Israel can be saved the same way that you and I get saved. If you're a Jew or whatever, they have to be saved the same way. But Israel as a nation, as far as God using them, are in a in timeout, backslidden state. They don't believe in Christ, okay? So what has to happen, if you look at the world, because God is God, Satan wants to show God as a liar. So he's trying to get Israel to the point where nobody is will help them, and he comes on the scene as if he's going to be the peacemaker, the Antichrist, okay? Because remember, he's trying to prove God as a liar. And so he is going to almost demolish, kill almost all of Israel, the nation. But God will step in and be true and faithful to his word. And what he promised Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all there are some promises for Israel as a nation. Those things will come to pass, although it looks like it's not. So this is why we keep our eyes on Israel prophetically, because when they get to the point, right now, I think it's just the U.S. that's pretty much a big ally with Israel. And we were almost on the verge of turning our backs on them. But if they ever get to the point where nobody, they have nobody else to help them, they're going to turn to the Antichrist. But that's not going to happen until the church has raptured out. So prophetically, you can see where we are. Okay? Don't get caught up in the climate change people talking about the world going to end in 12 years. Don't get caught up in this climate, because those things are, it brings about fear, and this is what I mean. If you're not careful, you will cast away your confidence. Mm-hmm. You will believe false prophecies, false prophets, and all these things, and throw away and not be prepared for when Christ comes, okay? So in Revelation 16, we're going to go to verse 15.
Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame.
Okay. Now notice here. He said, behold, I come as a thief. Do you know when a thief gonna rob a house?
Nope.
But if you up watching and you got your house with alarms and you got cameras and you may not know when he comes,
mm-hmm.
but you can be ready.
Amen.
If he comes, you will have some kind of something set. Y'all see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It says refers to the fact that the Antichrist has been so successful with his propaganda that very, very few people in the world of that time will actually be expecting Christ to return.
Wow.
It's happening now. There's so much propaganda going on that people don't know what's the truth. Do y'all notice that? There's so much information out there, and you don't know. You hear it turn from one station to the next, to the next, to the next. You hear all kind of different stuff, and you don't know what to believe, right?
Amen.
And so that's propaganda. It's painting an image of something that's false, but it has an agenda behind it, okay? And so it's going to get to the point that even the church is going to almost be carried away. And this is why he warns us, be watchful. Don't get caught sleeping. Don't get caught in the world just enjoying everything and marrying and being and partying and all these things, and you miss the rapture. He says, blessed is he who watches. Now, notice this word here, he gives a warning, and it says here, this word, it's an alertness. And it says it comes from a root word meaning collecting our faculties. In the light of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be collecting our faculties lest we lose our garments and walk naked and ashamed. It says the Christian who drowses away at his Christianity is imperiling his salvation. All too many Christians count on God to keep them alert. They feel it is God's duty to warn them as each new wave approaches. Unfortunately, it is not the duty of the captain of the ship to stand the wheel and watch. It is the person at the helm who must maintain constant vigilance. if he is to see the voyage to a successful conclusion. The helmsman who falls asleep and endangers the ship is eligible for grave and disciplinary action. Christians who fail to maintain their vigilance can expect no better. There are consequences for every action. Spiritual consequences are no less real than worldly ones. You see what I'm saying? So the captain is not the one that's steering the ship. It's the helmsman, right?
Amen.
He gotta make sure he stays awake and make sure he stays alert and vigilant.
Amen.
He gotta be watchful. He can't be asleep. He gotta be watchful because he gotta steer the boat or what have you in the away from harm, away from the icebergs, away from what y'all understand the whatever. He got to steer. You got to be awake. We got to be vigilant. We got to steer ourselves away from things and teachings and churches and false doctrines that's going to cause us harm.
Amen.
See, Christ did everything. He died, went to the cross. When he went to the cross, he equipped us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us to alert us, to say, hey, look. But I am responsible for being vigilant, alert, and aware.
Amen.
I am responsible for bringing my body under the subjection of Jesus Christ. See, I'm responsible to make sure that I examine myself and make sure I'm in the faith according to God's word. I got to read it.
Yes.
I got to study it.
Amen.
See, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, I die daily. He said also that he brought his body into subjection every waking day, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. So if he had to do it, Paul and Christ, what do y'all think about us?
Mm-hmm. We got to do it.
Y'all see?
Yes.
We have to remain vigilant. We have to. I don't care how bad the children are. I don't care how bad the job gets. I am responsible to make sure I don't take no more on myself than I can that's going to pull me away from him.
Amen.
It says here, yet Christians are becoming smug. Christian attention is wandering. Clergy and laity are becoming immersed in this world. It is a new day in which we live. The old scriptures no longer count. Practices that would have been denounced a short time ago are accepted now. Everyone
wow.
is doing it. It's
Amen.
A new day. You know what I mean? See,
Amen.
We shouldn't be flowing with culture and the waves of culture and how everything changes. God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore.
Amen.
If it was a sin 2,000 years ago, it's a sin
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
Here we go, cutting it up and calling it up with the LGBT agenda.
Yep.
That's not what he called us. And I'm not just talking about the LGBT agenda. I'm talking about adultery. That's in that. Y'all understand? We can't condone that and fornication. We can't sit here and condone it and make an excuse for it.
But we do.
Right. And that's family. I can. That's not. Nope. You stand on the truth of God's word.
Amen.
Because guess what? You standing on the truth of God's word, it may hurt some feelings, but I'd rather have them have hurt feelings than a soul that's going to be destined to hell.
Amen.
Y'all see what I'm saying? Or dealing with the same consequences. Oh, you know, consequences that are a result of that lifestyle, whether it be homosexuality, whether it be adultery, fornication, y'all understand? There's some consequences. God will forgive, but you're going to have to deal with some consequences of those actions.
Amen.
And you don't want to see people go down those roads. There's a reason why God said marriage should be between a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason
Amen.
Why he said don't have sex out of wedlock. He was protecting us.
That's right. Amen.
See, he was that his. But when we go outside of it, we have to deal with those consequences.
Mm-hmm.
That's not his will.
Amen.
So it says Satan knows there is nothing new under the sun. The modern morals and the new permissiveness are nothing new to him. He has promoted the same things in Greece, in Rome, in Sodom, mm-hmm. and Gomorrah, and in Babylon. Same thing.
Amen.
It says the new morality is new to us only because we were not alive in ancient days to see the old morality.
Ooh, amen.
See, it's only new to us. We think, oh, it's a new thing with this transgender and all this stuff. They were doing it back then.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
See,
amen.
It's new to us because we weren't around.
Amen.
It says Satan is breaking through the doors of our once moral and spiritual strongholds. And today he is bombarding our mind through pornographic movies, which come right into our living rooms,
yeah.
Billboards, magazines, indecent dress, public scenes that once would have caused people to blush. Many Christians sit through these movies and laugh at the openly obscene jokes and then wonder why their relationship with God is not what it used to be.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It says these Christians have lulled to sleep. They have been put under a hypnotic trance by Satan because they have not watched. They do not watch what they see, where they go, and what they say. And all of this despite the fact that the Holy Spirit has enjoined them to watch, not to watch and pray, is to prove oneself unworthy to be included in the rapture. Isn't that what happened with the five foolish? They didn't watch and pray.
Amen. Amen.
And this is what it means. The reason why I'm going this route is because I want us to see it's more to it than just, oh, they missed the rapture. They went to sleep. We have to see what that entails, what it means to go to sleep.
Yes.
See what I'm saying? So here in verse 16, or where did I stop at? He says, blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments. That's interesting. Because if we don't keep our garments, guess what we'll be doing? We're walking in nakedness. We're naked before God. We're no different than Adam and Eve.
Amen.
Matter of fact, let's go to, let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Let me see here. We're going to go down because we know the part about how their eyes were open. Okay, we're going to go down to verse 6. Mm-hmm. Verse
and
six.
When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
All right. Now notice, Satan was very clever. The things of the world are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When we say world, most people think just the club and smoking, drinking. I don't do those things. I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the world, when we say the world is in the church, it's because we see it. The woman saw that the tree was good for food. Now, remember, God had given them a command. He provided for Adam and Eve. He first put the animals and the trees and all that stuff there. He prepared the garden, and he put man in it. So everything Adam needed was there, right?
Right.
Then he saw that Adam needed companionship because the animals had companionship, so he provided, see, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the woman he provided sought wisdom from Satan, see? So instead of continuing to let God provide, see how we're now becoming independent?
Mm-hmm.
They were dependent upon God, and because they were dependent, they weren't naked. They didn't see the nakedness. There was no shame. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, here she goes trying to provide for herself now.
Mm-hmm.
See? Y'all see it? She went from God consciousness, where he provided everything, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. This is the lust of the flesh. The first part was the lust of the eyes. She saw it. the lust of the flesh, and now a tree to be desired to make one wise, pride of life. See how it goes back to self? As I was talking about my 16-year-old, it was the hair, but ultimately it was self. See what I'm saying? The hair, so it's wrapped, that, oh, the hair, it looked like, oh, it's not a biggie, it's not a big thing, but you have to go deep and see the spirit behind it.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? So it's the lust of the eyes, see it, it's good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, which was the lust of the flesh, and it was to be desired to make one wise. Now, God, who is creator of all, even creator of Satan or Lucifer, and had all wisdom, they decided to take advice from the created. So they worship the creation more than the creator. That's in Romans 1. See what I'm saying? So they worship the creation over the creator. That's idolatry. So it says here, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. That constituted the fall. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. See? So Adam was observing, and Eve submitted to this temptation out of deception, but Adam wasn't deceived. That tells us in 1 Timothy 2:14. He fell because of flat-out unbelief. He simply didn't believe what God had told him about the situation, and he wasn't deceived. The woman was.
Yes.
So it says both present the three temptations. The lust of, in Luke 4:1-13, you'll see Christ as the example. He was, the same temptation was given to Christ, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The first man fell, but the second man conquered.
Amen.
See? Now what happened in verse 7? Keep going.
And the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And
okay.
They heard.
Let's stop right there. So now, look what happens. Satan came in and suggested all these things.
Mm-hmm.
He prompted all these things. The world system suggests. It puts in your head racism. It puts in your mind they don't like me because. You see what I'm saying? The world makes suggestions every day. Well, by what we watch, what we hear, all these things, it's suggesting and it's putting this in our heads and it's getting us. All he's doing is undressing us. See?
Mm-hmm.
He's he's trying to get us to take the garments of Christ out, because he says in this life you're going to have tribulation. See? Satan's trying to get us to look at all the injustices. And that's the world system. That's the world. Satan rules it. So he's cruel. There's going to be injustice. Sin is in the world. There's going to be stuff not right. See what I'm saying? So why are we focused on what's not right instead of focusing on Christ? He said, if you keep your mind stayed on me, I'll keep you in perfect peace.
Amen.
So the enemy is making all these suggestions to get our focus away from Christ and on our problems.
Amen.
And on the issues that we face in the world. See? And so what happens, their eyes were open. Then it says this refers to consciousness of guilt as a result of their sin. God was going to give them a wisdom and give them the insight they needed, but without sinning. See?
Amen.
It says, and they knew that they were naked. You see? Refers to the fact that they had lost the enswathing light of purity, which previously had clothed their bodies. So what does man do? Instead of man being dependent upon God, he goes and sews some fig leaves together and made themselves aprons.
Amen.
It says, sinners clothe themselves with morality, sacraments, and religious ceremonies. They are as worthless as Adam's apron of fig leaves. See, that's what we do. We're trying to appease or ease our conscience. See, they were naked before God. They saw themselves, and they were ashamed. And we just read that in the scripture over in Revelation 16. What did it say? I'm going to get back over. Let me see right quick. In Revelation 16, he told us, he told him to, let me find it, give me 1 second, y'all. He said, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk what? Naked.
Naked.
And they see his shame." So when you and I walk naked, that means, remember, our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's what God sees. Self-righteousness, self-efforts. It is not the blood of Jesus Christ that he sees. If I'm walking naked, I'm walking in my own shame. I'm walking in my own, see, it's as filthy rags, so I am open for judgment. If there is no blood covering you and I, we are open targets for the judgment of God.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? Yes. So, let's keep going. I want to get down to verse 11. Where did I stop? Verse
8.
Okay, keep going.
"And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden."
Now it says in the notes, the voice of the Lord had once been a welcome sound. Mm-hmm. It is now a dreaded sound because of their sin. It is not the voice of the Lord had, it is not that the voice of the Lord had changed. It hadn't. See what happens? When we allow the world and we walk away from God's righteousness and we put on our own righteousness and think we can do things according to our own strength and ability, the voice of God changes.
Amen.
To us, it hadn't changed. It's just that they were in sin. And now his voice become dreaded. Now I don't want to read the word of God. Remember I said earlier, when we get caught up in self, we get away from, it pushes us away from the things of God. And it pushes us into our own righteousness. So now it says, because of sin, it is not the voice of God that's changed. It hadn't. It was the same voice that they had heard since created. God hadn't changed. They changed.
Mm-hmm.
See? That's what we, when we walk in our own righteousness, and if you notice people get saved, may give their lives to Christ, go to an organized church, they change.
Yes, amen.
Everything changes, and the voice. And I'll get you in a second. They're not walking in the purity of the holiness of God, where there was sincerity and a sincere desire to live for God. When you and I start walking in our own righteousness, things change. Yes, ma'am.
Don't you think? Like when we do something wrong, and we know it's a sin against God. Mm-hmm. We have the sense of feeling that we know we've done wrong. And don't you think when they did what they did and they was naked, they knew that God knew what they did and they was listening for his voice.
So you're saying they were listening for?
They knew that they did wrong.
Right.
And just like we today, when we know we've done wrong, we
right.
want to repent and make it right.
Uh-huh.
So when they was in the garden and they became naked, they knew that they was going to hear God's voice telling them what they did wrong.
Right, right. And notice that it said that Adam and his wife hid.
Mm-hmm.
And because they heard the voice of God.
The voice of God, yes.
And they hid themselves. And so from the presence of the Lord, God amongst the trees of the garden, it says, here is the down or the dawn of a new era in the history of humanity. So the eye of a guilt conscience is now open for the first time. So that's the first time guilt, that guiltiness came upon them. And this is their response to hide. And ain't that what we do? When you
mm-hmm.
preaching or when you talk about the word, what sinners do? They don't want to, because their conscience, the conscience don't want to hear, oh, man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to hear it. They want to shut you down. They don't want to, you know. And it says, and God and the universe appear in new and terrible forms. So we don't want to hear when we're in error and we run away from that. And I heard somebody say, when you don't want to read the word, you don't want to know God. You're running away from God. When you don't want to hear the word of God or read the word of God, you don't want to know God.
Amen.
And that's what it is. You're shutting. You don't want the convicting power of the Spirit to deal with the heart.
Amen.
And our time's almost up. Keep going, verse 9, because I want to get to verse 11.
And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.
There go that voice, Miss Neat. So it says, fear is the first reaction of fallen man. Adam's consciousness of the effects of sin, was keener than his sense of the sin itself. That's powerful. So his consciousness of the effect of sin was more keen. It was keener than the sense of sin.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? So he was open more to feeling the conviction of his wrong. And that's what the fall does, right?
Amen.
Amen.
Now notice it says, he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because what?
I was naked.
Nakedness.
And so what?
He hid.
Right. He said, it says he was naked to the judgment of God because of sin, which meant, which must be judged. He tried to hide himself from God, even as untold millions have, but never with any success. God wanted Adam to know that he who hides himself from him is never hidden from him, and that he who runs away from him can never escape him.
Amen.
You see that? So Adam says, I'm naked. Now notice verse 11. Keep going.
And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?
It says, carries Adam's mind from the effect to the sin that had caused it. As long as a man feels sorrow only for the results of his actions, there is no repentance and no wish to return to the divine presence. So, Ms. Nee, I think that kind of answered what you were saying earlier. There was a sorrow, but there was no repentance. Notice he said, as long as you feel sorry for your sin, that ain't going to cut it.
No.
Because there is no desire to return to the divine presence. So just because people crying and boo-hooing, y'all know how they do. They got caught. There's remorse, but there's no repentance.
No repentance.
They get caught up in their wrong and doing stuff, and oh, yeah, yeah, and we go, there we go. Instead of us showing the truth according to God's word, standing firm on God's word, and letting them suffer. There will be no return to the divine presence of God. They won't have a desire to repent.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they're in their feelings, emotions, and there they go carrying us with them. But we
Amen.
Must stand on the truth. God loves you, yes, but God cannot condone your sin,
right.
Your error, your mistake.
Amen.
God, he will help you if you fall down but want to get back up the right way, but he's not going to help you in your sin.
Amen.
Now notice he said, have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? And we're going to have to close on that note. But my point is, who told you that you were naked? See, some of these things Satan will suggest and tell you these things, and it's to get us in our emotions and get us hot and bothered and get us caught up with crying out injustice and all this and all that. And all it does is keep you from the divine presence of God. Instead of me owning up to my sin and my error, and Lord, I messed up, I sinned against you and you alone, I want to make excuse that somebody else is the reason why I responded that way.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Ain't that what Adam and Eve did?
Yep.
The woman you gave to
Amen.
Me. See what I'm saying? We want to make an excuse. It was the white man. It was the black man. It was the Indian. It was this person. And God is like, who told you you were naked?
Amen.
Have you eaten of the tree? Have you given in to sin?
Amen.
All right, so we'll pick up because this is very important because, remember, we got to keep our garments, and we're going to get into having the whole armor and being covered in Christ. That's the last requirement for being rapture qualified or rapture ready, conditioned to be raptured with the church, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're going to, on that note, we're going to have to close, but we thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We pray that we said some things that will help you in your walk and not to be caught up and unprepared for when Christ returns. And we looked at the example of the five foolish, and we want to know what we can do to learn from their mistakes. Amen?
Amen.
So those on the line, hold on. But until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on the Understanding of God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.